Now on Radio 4, Nick Baker continues his hunt for new employment as he looks at how our changing world has radically altered the jobs that we do. It's niche work, if you can get it.
I'm sitting in front of a pile of correspondence between my late parents dating back to the 1940s, all higgledy-piggledy in a plastic bag. I realise I don't know enough about my father's life, and he didn't talk much about his experiences of World War II. He really didn't want to. And maybe, to my shame, I didn't ask enough.
Shall I tell you about my life? Say I'm
there. Also within reach, a pile of my own family video, now all on DVD. A link to an online store of our family pictures. And I guess my email and stuff goes back, 10 years. So a lot of the raw material is there for me to tell my own story to my now grown up children. But the rawest material, I suppose, is me. Do I have a responsibility to pass on my life story? If the answer's yes, would there be someone out there who'd take on the very niche work of writing my autobiography for me? For money. Oh, yes, there would. There's Life Book.
Everyone has a story to tell and an audience who would love to read it.
Minus 10, minus 15.
Miquette is having her life story written for her. It's a long and exciting one. A lot of it set in 1940s in the Far East.
The Japanese came in 41, Pearl Harbor. Well, they were the occupying force. I was about 11 then. My father was a diplomat, and we were exchanged with Japanese diplomats.
This morning's news of Japan's aggression is of successful countermeasures against the invasion of Malaya. At Shanghai, the Japanese have taken over the international waterfront.
And the company doing the writing for her is called Life Book. In leafy Godalming, in the heart of Surrey, sits a barn, and it's not just any old barn.
Welcome to the barn.
Lifebook was set up in 2010 by Roy Moed, and the idea was that the service would be engaged by the offspring of elderly parents and grandparents, people who wanted to leave a lasting memorial that needed a bit of help creating it.
I imagine a cottage industry. This is a kind of, to extend the metaphor, a barn industry. But there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 9 workstations here. And how many lives are being dealt with on these tables at any one time?
There's 180 going on at the moment around the world.
And at £6,000 a pop, you can do the maths. Although it's niche work, it's a growing concern as well.
It is, but it's a business, so it takes us up to 9 months to do a project. So that's why we have so many going on at the same time.
So, the story of Life Book. Roy's story.
My background was in airline catering, and when I came to retire or sell the business, I decided I wanted to use my skills for more social purposes. And having been through this whole issue with my father, where I'd never listened to his stories and got them down in writing, I decided that I had to come up with a way to inspire him to get those stories from him. So I created this Life Book precursor where my secretary went and interviewed him once a week. And when I got to read the book that came out of that after he passed away, I found out there were loads of stories I'd never heard before. So for me, this is a real business that actually impacts people all over the world and will for years to come. That's why I started.
There's a benefit to be had in hiring a professional writer if you can afford it. Anne Sever is a biographer, historian, and journalist.
The children are often the last people who know about their parents' inner lives, private lives certainly, who know about their parents' sex lives. So children aren't always the best people. I can tell you what it was like to interview my own father. He happened to fight in World War II. He went over in a tank on D+1. Of course he had a story to tell. So I took the tape recorder eventually and I had a couple of sessions with him. And then he kept wanting to end it and say, oh, you don't want to hear about this, Anne. I've told you enough of that. It's very hard to interview your own parents.
One Lifebook client who decided not to wait for his kids to save up for the fee is Bob Wells.
Morning, Bob. It's Tom from Lifebook.
Tom Harnett, one of the project managers, let me sit in on a call to him. How personal does it get?
It surprised me. I'm not a person normally subject to too much drama or emotion, but just the thought of bringing things back, it brings tears to my eyes. Wonderful. It's almost like going in a psychiatrist's couch without feeling mentally ill.
So really, you're kind of buying your own posterity with Lifebook.
Nobody can live forever, but if you've got it between the pages of a book, maybe in the digital expression of a computer, if that doesn't all get wiped out by some massive worm in the near future, yeah, you're buying some sort of posterity.
One final thing, Bob, you're only 63. I mean, that's quite early to be thinking about a legacy of life story.
Not necessarily. As the story will evolve, my both parents died young. My grandmother died young. I've always had a feeling that I would leave this mortal coil at an early age. Nobody really knows, do they? So get it down before it's too late, is my view.
Or rather get someone else to get it down. Don't forget, Bob isn't required to write a single word.
Ghostwriters who ghosted for people who can't necessarily write for themselves. It's really hard, unless you're a natural writer, to sit down and say, well, what did I do at school, my first day at school? Or who was the bully there? Or who was my favourite teacher? What was my favourite subject? Stuff that's natural to you as an interviewer. But normally for a person on their own to sit down and think about that, it's really hard. So you need some sort of catalyst to go there and sit with them and say, okay, let's start there.
It's a human catalyst who sits with what Lifebook calls the author, the subject of the book, sits and winkles out the story over 18 hours in total. Then the audio recording is passed to the writer, whose job it is to capture the voice and the story and condense it. We managed online to call up Lifebook writer Amy Laurie in North Carolina.
As people age, the way they tell a story is different. A younger person can tell the story and be thinking about it chronologically as it occurred and give the listener sort of a very step-by-step retelling of what happened. The older we get, that gets a little bit more complicated. So a lot of our authors, they tell a story in a very disjointed way. They might tell you the end before they actually tell you the beginning. So what I do is I have to be sure that I put it together chronologically based on everything that I'm hearing. And I can't put words in their mouth. It's kind of a fine line, though. You don't want to tell the story verbatim because a lot of authors don't like the way they sound. They want to sound eloquent and so forth. So you don't want to tell the story verbatim. There's a lot of superfluous words in the way we speak, but that's not the way a narrative should read on paper.
I watched the synagogue being burnt. It was literally sort of across the road. I could see them burning all the holy scriptures and things. So I realized what was going on, partially, but a child doesn't take it so seriously. And then I was told I was going with the Kinder transport to England. I was so excited. I mean, you know, we all were.
Edith Hollander, a German Holocaust survivor, had her remarkable story written by Lifebook. But what about those lives like mine, I suppose, which inevitably don't make such interesting stories? Isn't there a risk some lives will be, I don't know, boring? Project manager Tom Hartman.
No, I generally don't think any of them are boring. It's the fact that all the details they give us and they put in that book, it matters to them. It's important, it's interesting to them and their families. So none of them are boring. One of my favourites was probably a lady in Canada, really rural Edmonton. She quickly gauged that I was going out with my long-term girlfriend. So every time I spoke to her, have you popped that question? Have you given her a ring? I loved working with that lady. She'd signed off to print, and then before actual physical copies of her book could arrive, I got an email from her daughter saying she's passed away. And how long was her book? 2 years? Not getting her that book
in its physicality was just so annoying. And then, of course, typically what happened a few months later, I proposed to my girlfriend.
And here is that author, the late Ramona Klimok.
My grandfather was a big person. And he clapped his hands together and he'd say, "Fine, Billy, Charlie, smarten up."
It's great that Ramona's family has her story to cherish, and this is a clever and growing niche. Livebook's now offering an audiobook option, and as a new company, it'll turn your old videos and Siri into a professional-looking TV documentary. It all serves a very basic need. Biographer Anne Sedder again.
It's the park bench syndrome. Do you just want to have a plaque on a park bench? Or do you actually want to feel that your life means something? And you don't need to be religious to feel that. You want to try and feel there's a purpose to your being here. You want your story told, of course, for your own family, for grandchildren. But you want it also because you want to try and impose a pattern on your life to see that you've actually done something worthwhile and that it makes sense.
True, it does make sense, although I still think because of the high cost, there will be lives worth remembering that don't get recorded, and some that do get recorded that don't really earn their place between hard covers.
I could tell you about my life.
Next time, a middle-aged woman whose job involves memorising the lyrics to rap music.
Niche Work, if you can get it, was produced by Leanne Coyle, and it was a Whistledown production for BBC Radio 4.